Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, getting into the basics of designing that perfect plan. Is there
That's
such
right.
a thing as a perfect plan?
Yeah, I don't know.
But it can be better.
I try hard.
Planning with Purpose, the name of your firm. You help people with their estates.
Yeah.
And trusts are your method that you like the best. And
right.
you kind of want to talk about what every plan should have and some basic points on how to keep it flexible.
Yeah, flexibility is really a key component in really any estate plan. And one of the reasons I like to utilize a revocable living trust as the primary tool, because there's only two tools I can use. The basics are a will or a revocable living trust, and I tend to want to use a revocable living trust, and we're going to discuss some of these reasons of why here, but one of the big words is flexibility. Mm. If I use a will, that will in its purest form is a document that simply gives money outright. It gives money to the person. Well, there's no flexibility there. Mm. It's that they must take it. So what if they are in a precarious circumstance? What if they're going through a divorce? Boy, last night in the parking lot, somebody pulled out and decided to use my bumper as a stopper instead of their brakes. And so what if I was the one, right? And what if that was a worse one instead of just a little bumper-to-bumper action in a parking lot? Mm-hmm. So what if that was me driving down the freeway and somebody didn't stop in time? Mm. So their life is unknown. And so developing a plan that has the greatest opportunity to be flexible, to meet the circumstance at the time that we need to use the plan, because there's a problem. I don't know if and when I am going to be deemed disabled. In other words, I need someone to assist me. If I knew the date that I was going to have a health incident that was going to require me to get somebody to stand next to me, I would probably do a little bit of a preparation around that specific date or incident. Or what day am I going to die? I don't know. Only the good Lord knows the day that my days are numbered. He sees it. So therefore, we need a plan because we just don't know the day that we're going to use it. Mm. Therefore, I don't know the circumstance of my wife. I don't know the circumstance of my daughters. I hope that everything is great, but I don't know that for sure. So therefore, I want to create a plan that ensures that on an unknown date in the future, that the plan is going to be able to meet the needs of those I care about, which would also include myself. So I want to make sure that if I have a health incident, that the document is going to work in my best interest, but also in the best interest of my wife. Also in the best interest of my kids. Someday I may have grandkids, so in the best interest of those I care about and want to make sure are well taken care of. And how about in the best interest of my church? How about in the best interest of missionaries if I support missionaries? Would I just want to cut off support that they're relying upon? So there's multiple things that I care deeply about. I want to make sure that a plan is ready at the beck and moment that I need it, and it's at its highest best use and not worn down, outdated, bad law, old taxes, or simply missing things that should be in it. Yeah. So I want to talk about some of the things that should be in plans, because if they're missing, well, that's a red flag right there. It means that we need to do some work. And how do you know if they're missing? Well, you can take a discussion like today, pull out your plan. I don't have time to really stop and pause for you to get your plan, but you can go to our podcast and you can pause it and then you can go through your plan, or you can come into the office, or you can find an attorney that you trust and take your document and say, these are some of the things that I want to see if my document has in it. And if you have no plan at all, well, then there's literally no flexibility in your life at all, the law is going to take over for you. No, Washington State doesn't get everything, but Washington law will be the guiding light instead of your voice being the guiding light. So therefore, we got to take a deeper dive into some of these things that should be in a plan to make it as flexible as possible to meet an unknown date and an unknown circumstance in the future.
Well, a big area of what every plan needs then, and you alluded to it, is disability instructions.
Yeah.
And this is something I've learned as we've done these shows through the years is it's not so much just when you die, but what about when you become disabled? And there are lots of issues around that.
There's a lot of issues. And so we need to make sure that a plan is set and ready to take care of you. I've talked about for quite some time on this radio show, you are your greatest asset, not your bank account, not your 401k, not your house. Those might have monetary value, but you are your greatest asset. So therefore, planning has to start with simple, what do you need in light of a potential health issue? So every good plan should have a couple things concerning what happens if I have a health incident. Number one, we need to know who is going to take care of two primary areas. Number one, finances. Number two, who's going to take care of your health decisions? So do we have the right people in place? Oftentimes, outdated documents have the wrong person, have a person who is no longer as close to you, is no longer the right person because, well, maybe they've even passed away. I've had clients come in, oh, yeah, that person's gone. Well, that's a really good reason to change your plan. What if it was one child, but they're going through a difficulty? I talked to some individuals and they go, well, our son is in the primary position, but unfortunately, he's kind of disassociated himself from the family over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so family stuff happens, right? Mm-hmm. People make choices about how to handle family or hurts and pains that they can't get over. So do you have the right person? Are they the right person to manage your finances? Are they the right person to handle your health care? Do they have the right temperament? Do they have the right skill set? Just because someone isn't good with finances doesn't make them a bad person. It would just make them a really bad financial power of attorney. Mm. And so just because they're a nice kid doesn't mean that they're the right person to manage the finances. So we got to start with making sure that you have the right individuals in the right roles to fit the circumstance. And yes, those things change over time. Relationships change. Unfortunately, life is fluid. I know many people just want it to be static. Well, why can't I just have a best friend for the rest of my life? I don't know. But things move. And some of those questions even get really difficult if you don't have children to rely upon. So then you have a greater potential of needing to move that needle depending on the most trusted relationships that you have in your life. Nieces and nephews, but maybe they get married and they start disconnecting because life is just busy. Not out of intent, not out of bad ill, but it's just life is life. You rely upon one person that you're very close to, and all of a sudden you change a church, and all of a sudden that relationship starts to move in a different direction. So having the right people is important. So having the right people, the right help is necessary to make sure that you're going to be well taken care of, having the right people advocate for you.
But what if you don't – we did a show recently about people who are single and don't have help. So what are we doing in that situation?
Yeah, and so in those circumstances, I'll take a deeper dive of, well, do you have current relationships, current siblings? So we'll start at a higher level of maturity. No, my siblings are getting as old as I am. They're older than me. They're distant, whether it's locationally. Okay, fine. But do you have other family members, nieces, nephews, or something that are of the right age, of the right personality, again, of the right skill set? Oh, yes, I have a niece that just went through nursing school, has a couple years. I would really trust her to make medical decisions. How about finances? And so if we run out of family, if we run out of trusted people, if we run out of friends that you would not really want to add into there, then there's always professional companies that do this. Why are there professional companies? Well, because of this issue, because there are people that even if they have children, their children are not the right people to help manage their money, help manage their health decisions. So there are professional fiduciaries that can step in. And sometimes that's what it takes, is that it takes a professional fiduciary. There's ways to interview people and make sure that they're a good fit. But even that can change, right? Companies change, employees change. So as the population ages, there are more and more services available because there is a large number of individuals that are now in their 70s, that are retiring, that are facing the health issues. Maybe you have the finances, but you don't have the support. So there's companies that can come in and help you, help take your meds, help care for you, help clean, help make sure that you can get dressed and bathe and all these other things. Well, they're out there because society needs it and society is getting older. So, yep, there are options. But if you don't sit down and talk about your specific circumstance, how do we ever get to the right option for you without really having somebody to bounce off these ideas? And specifically with older documents, things have changed. It's time for a new conversation.
Well, what else is involved then in disability instructions other than finding the right person or company to help you? What other things are we considering here?
Yeah, well, so there's care for other people then oftentimes. Mm. So my daughters are 28 and 29. They're amazing, but I still help them because, well, they're my girls. They're both single, and so it's nice to be able to step in, assist them financially if I can. I talk to them about different decisions. So if I was absent, then who is going to make the decisions or help my daughters, even though I'm the one who might need attention? Both my daughters are healthy, fortunately, but what if one of my girls had health issues that were longstanding? What if they qualified for Medicaid and my document says, just go ahead and support them? There is an opportunity then that Medicaid may look at that and go, oh, there's a provision that you could get support, and that type of support doesn't allow us to continue to help you with food stamps, medical, housing allowances, and other things that somebody needs. So adding in those you care about also needs to have the right provisions to ensure that they're not going to be disqualified. What if they were permanently disabled and we knew that they were going to need to rely upon social assistance? So what if they were born with a disability? What if they were developed a disability during their lifetime? So how do we make sure that those who are around us continue to be safe, even if it's just in the emergency, just in case? So what if one of my girls lost their job? Well, there's layoffs now happening. There's other things going on. Is it possible that one of my girls lost their jobs? And if so, they don't have the financial backing in their own bank account to really make their life float. So then, what if that happened? Would I want to make sure that my family is well taken care of? For me, the answer is yes. Maybe for you, it's not. I've heard other people say, well, they're adults and they'll figure it out. Okay, I understand that. It's not my job to push against, and it's my job to ask the right questions to make sure that the document is going to be flexible enough for an unknown date, for an unknown circumstance. Mm. Today, everything looks good. Does that guarantee that tomorrow is good? Nope. I can't guarantee it. So therefore, I must have a document that is going to be flexible enough to meet the challenge at an unknown specified time.
What every plan needs, kind of a large subject this week, but we're getting into it line by line, precept by precept.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you like Paul's approach to planning, estate planning. You want to find out more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, we are discussing what every plan needs. Flexibility, for sure, particularly around the area of disability instruction, maybe care for others. And tell us more about this aspect of things, Paul.
Yeah, and this is almost irrelevant of whether you use a revocable living trust or whether you're going to be using a will and financial power of attorney package. So a well-designed trust should have these type of disability provisions worked in them, and also a well-drafted and thoughtful financial power of attorney should be able to have these provisions as well. So who is the right person? What type of authority over money do they have? If someone else is managing your finances for you and you're alive, so you have something's gone wrong, someone else needs to watch over, pay the bills. If you have investments, what type of risk do you take in using your investment? So for example, in a financial power of attorney, there's very, very little direction on how to invest according to your desires. As a matter of fact, I've really never seen a financial power of attorney mention a financial advisor. And why would that be important? Because who do you use matters. You use a specific person to help invest your finances, and at a very, very critical time, you losing or having a health incident and someone else stepping in to manage your money, is that really the time that you want to lose what you consider to be an important voice of how to manage and invest your money? Now, the financial advisor doesn't have the legal ability to make their own decisions. They take decisions. They ask you questions. If a child steps in, or anyone else for that matter steps in and has the legal authority now to invest your money, would you want the new financial power of attorney agent to move your money to a different financial advisor? Mm. Or would you want your advisor to remain over your finances because maybe you've had deeper conversations about how to invest, why you invest, your philosophy of investing? Do you like higher risk? Do you want income? Do you want more conservative investing? Do you like tax-free investing? Do you like very steady investing such as bonds, and which are less, they move less in the market? Or even something that is more secure like CDs and money market accounts that don't earn as much, but yet they're more stable. So what is your investment philosophy?
So all this specificity can be part of your plan?
It should be a part of your plan. Okay. It's not that it can be. It should be. Mm. And that's the whole thing that I'm bringing to the table. I'm trying to get you to think about, well, what would that look like if my child or someone else was managing my assets? And what if they, for their convenience, wanted to shift financial advisors? Maybe you'd say, that's okay. My financial advisor's there, but I don't know them super well. You use a bigger company like Schwab or Vanguard or TD Ameritrade or whatever other bigger companies, and you don't have a specific person that knows you well. Well, maybe it's not as big of a deal. But if you use smaller companies or you use a specific financial advisor, oftentimes that relationship has been with you for a very long period of time. That should be in your financial power of attorney. It should be in your trust, because that is going to guide your new agent to have a connection with them and not put them to the side. I've seen it happen multiple times, which is a well-meaning child comes in, but for their convenience, not necessarily yours, they want to shift money because they have a different philosophy of investment compared to what the parent had. So having good documents address the finances in more detail instead of generally. And that's what I see a lot of, Mark, is I see documents be generalized instead of specific. Generally, a financial power of attorney gives access to your assets. And fine, we can pay the bills, we can write checks, but where is the direction? So we want more than just open up the coffers. We want your voice in the process of how do we make sure that your finances are going to be well taken care of in a time when you've lost your voice, but you've selected, hopefully, the right person. Is that person willing to be trained? Is that person willing to go with what your desires are in investing? So investing is actually a really big deal, and it's a missing topic in almost in most estate plans that I look.
Can all this detailed instruction maybe scare away a lot of people if they realize they're going to have to?
Yeah, but that could also be a reasonable litmus test to say, do you know what you're doing? Are you willing to have conversations? I mean, isn't it worth a conversation? Here, I'm about ready to give you control of all of my finances. And I'm just going to name someone. I'm not going to have them come in and meet the attorney, talk about what the document says, what are the limitations. In other words, what do they know about managing money? What do they know about managing your money? It's really a difficult system in estate planning, which is we create a document. We think we've done something good. There's no training. There's no discussion. And all of a sudden, you have a health incident, and the person who comes into my office goes, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, this is a really bad time for you to try to learn. Right. Shouldn't the conversations happen before the emergency happens? Shouldn't we do the training beforehand? And I think that's what makes my firm very unique in the industry, is that we actually have educational opportunities for families, for successor trustees,
so you get these
for agents.
You get these families and individuals ready for these kinds of responsibilities.
Absolutely. That's exactly correct. Yeah. So not only do we have deeper, longer conversations about how do you want your money invested, who are the relationships in your life that you want to have a part of the conversation, financial advisors, CPAs, business partners. So if you run a business out there, is it important to have your business continue to move forward if you have a health incident? Who do we go and talk to? Who has the best knowledge? If you are a sole proprietor, you run the business, who's the best person that would have information about how to run your business and keep it moving forward if it was possible? So all of these things need to be discussed. All of these things should be worked in to your plan, whether it is a will and financial power of attorney or whether it is a revocable living trust. These conversations need to be had. One last thing as we start wrapping up today's show is specifically individuals with children may name one of their children to be the financial power of attorney agent or the successor trustee. Well, what happens if they have the purse strings, but now they need the help? There are some strong boundaries in the law that says that you may not be able to assist yourself because you have a fiduciary duty to do what's in your parents' best interest. So therefore, are there provisions to ensure that the one who is helping you, if they have the emergency, if they have the financial need, that they can still be a part of the picture and still have an opportunity. So are there other people that they would have to go back to? So for example, would it be a reasonable thing to have them come back to the attorney and say, I need assistance. Is this a reasonable request and can I use the money? So there are ways to ensure that the finances are going to be managed with integrity, but not leave out that specific individual. Mm. So all of these things need to be considered. All of these things should be in really good estate planning documents. And I just don't see them all that often in the right documents.
What every plan needs, looking at some basics of designing an estate plan that will meet all of the needs of your family. It's very important. You like the way Paul thinks about this subject. Want to find out more about his services? How do people do that, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. Would love to hear from you. Legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.